Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Welcome back, Posh fans. Peterborough United drew 0-0 with Leighton Orient at London Road. Charlie, give us your thoughts on the game.
I mean, it wasn't the most entertaining game, was it? But a clean sheet is a clean sheet, and it's great that we've got our first in the league this season. I thought the new boys bedded in really well, which was the big positive from the day. But yeah, we need to get back to playing that fast-flowing attacking football. We saw it at times during the game, but it wasn't that entertaining. Didn't really look like we were massively, you know, throwing everything at it at the end to get the 3 points. I think the defensive platform was a much more important thing yesterday. It wasn't the most, you know, entertaining game, as I've said, but it was something to build on. And the fact that, yeah, as we said, we've managed to shut out Leighton Orient, who are one of the most informed teams in the English leagues, but especially in League One at the minute. Yeah, it was a good platform to build on.
I liked it. I enjoyed it because it was like more back to basics. We weren't trying to ponce around coming out the back of it. It was good. I like the new guy, Hughes. No frills. I did put a thing out saying he reminds me a bit of Zakwani. Obviously not to the level of Zakwani, but he was like, if in doubt, kick the fucker out. Obviously my spelling was shit, but that's irrelevant. But it was good because we looked in control. Orin, I thought, was a really good setup. They were structured. They knew what they was doing. They was organised. But I actually think it was a really, really good point. But more importantly, I think it was a really good, well-earned clean sheet. As you said, Charlie, going forward, we was a bit weak. We was a bit lapsadaisy. I don't think the midfield was particularly great. Who's the fucking players? Collins and Cipriano. It weren't their best games, I don't think, which is unusual because the midfield is normally our strong area. But from a defensive point of view, we've done what we had to do. I was pleased with a point, to be fair, and a clean sheet.
Do you know what? It was quite interesting because I discussed today with somebody and said, like, it's kind of sad how far we've come, that actually a point against Leighton Orient felt like a good result. Now, that's not to downplay Orient, because obviously we've gone against them in playoff games before and sort of always managed to be in League One with them and settled with that. But it just felt like it was like yesterday was sort of like the turning of the tide. It was a boring game. It was 0-0. Nobody really goes out today and expects to see and watch a 0-0. But I think ultimately it was probably what we needed. Like Charlie said, like just like total reset. Boring game, everybody beds in, everybody settles in, and then we can hopefully go again on Tuesday night and use it as the springboard that we need for the rest of the season.
I agree with all this. If I was going to try and pick out points of where we still need to improve, just some of the decision-making in some of the areas where they're actually not under pressure was where I saw some of the worst moments in the game, unfortunately. And Cipriano passing across the pitch twice directly to their players in the first, 10 minutes, 20 minutes of the second half. He recovered the ball a couple of times himself from his own errors. But we need to, as you say, springboard from here, half-decent place to build from against a team that was in form. But that precision and that, you know, that decision-making process where we make the easier move and also one where it's a bit more of a set play. We have that little thing that Hayes done where he runs inside, or where Archie will pass it back to Billow and the fullbacks will get very wide. Those little set plays didn't really happen yesterday. We were a little bit more reactive to Leighton Orient, and I think we can hopefully build from here with a bit of confidence and start getting back to more our specific style.
Yeah, I was sort of fine with what happened yesterday. It almost felt like the season almost starts now. We just haven't been able to get anything going because we haven't been able to rely on a defence. And yesterday it looked like a defence that at least robustly, and it's not the prettiest football, but at least we're probably not going to concede goals at the rate we were before. And considering, you know, Teo Edan come in 2 days before the game, I think Sam Hughes was exactly the same. Carl Johnson's only been here a couple of weeks. We had a striker playing up front that still doesn't really know his teammates either, and they're all getting used to him. It was never probably going to look as free-flowing or as pretty patterned as we can paint. Yeah, it wasn't the best game of football, but I thought it was nice to see, particularly Sam Hughes. I really enjoyed his performance. It was very much back to basics. It wasn't anything special, but how long have we been waiting for a defender that just wins his headers, wins his tackles, one-on-one, doesn't get beaten? You know, just shows a bit of aggression, positional-wise, spot on, got everything right. And I thought he did everything basics right, which is exactly what we've lacked all season. And look what happens. I don't think they had a shot on target. The thing that does concern me, is a damning indictment on the people that are here, is the players we've brought in Sam Hughes and Teo Edan, couldn't get a game at Stockport and Charlton, and yet they look leagues above what's gone before them. Now, this is the standard to be a backup at a mid-table League One team. And, you know, Valin, even Fernandez alongside him, let's look at Fernandez. He looked miles worse than Sam Hughes yesterday. He did okay, I guess, defensively, but on the ball, he was really poor. I didn't think much to Fernandez's performance. So how far are these players off? And we can keep saying, you know, they might come good in their second season, but the standard to be a backup player at a mid-table League One club has just been shown in one game, and we've kept a clean sheet. They are miles off that standard that I saw from Sam Hughes, because that was the best central defensive performance of the season, bar none. So what confidence can I have in 5 months' time that they're even going to get to that level? And that level isn't even an outstanding League One defender. So that is a concern, I would say. But it does feel now like, okay, we've got a foundation to build upon. Let's bank that. And hopefully things click in the attacking third, because there was a lot of players in sort of the front six positions that had off games that I don't think they will every week. And I think with that foundation behind them, we should be able to just creep up to mid-table, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you sort of hit the nail on the head there with the defensive performances. I also thought that Johnston and Edan were probably the best defensive performances we've seen from fullbacks as well. I mean, Edan has played, I think it's like 5 or 6 games this season, and looks so much sharper than Jack Sparks has the entire campaign. I was actually really impressed with Edan, not only just defensively. He didn't just do his job, but he actually got forward quite a lot. He had a couple of really nice runs. He looked very similar in sort of player profile to Ogbessa when he joined, in terms of a bit of energy down that left-hand side, getting forward, coming a bit central with his runs. And I was a big fan of his performance. And then Carl Johnston again impressed me. And what I liked about Carl Johnston was again, his communication. He seems like a real leader. And he said that about Sam Hughes as well as in his interview, Carl Johnston, that he's a real leader. And so that's three of the back four that have joined in sort of the last 2 weeks and are the best three of the back four. And I mean, good on Dara for going out and making signings that will get us out of the position we're in. We all said that we were concerned. We all said that we felt that those were positions that desperately needed to be addressed. And he's done it. But it's also made him look a little bit silly, in terms of there was one player in that back four that really stuck out as not good enough yesterday. And I felt that was Manny Fernandez. He knows the system better than anybody in that back four, because he's been here the longest time. He's been here for the entire season. He knows that 4-2-3-1, and yet he still looks completely positionally inept. His passing was rash. His challenging was pretty weak. I mean, I think it's a damning indictment of what was already in the building yesterday's game. But yeah, fair play to the recruitment staff for getting it through. But Jesus, it really exposed yesterday how bad we actually have been for this season so far.
Exactly that, Charlie. The three of the back four were all new signings, and they were very good. Manny, it doesn't deserve, in my opinion, to start on Tuesday night. He was a weak link in the team as well yesterday overall. But I said it in a cast a few weeks back that he just seems to, I know he feels he's got so much time in the well to, like, you know, be calm, kick the ball out of play or up the thing. And his passing was fucking atrocious yesterday. You know, he just couldn't pass to another bloke in a blue shirt. So, yeah, I think the fact is we've got three new players in defence and already we look more solid. You know, personally, I would drop Fernandes and I'd even potentially bring Wallin back in or even Neville. I don't mind. One of the two. Why not? But one of our own players, you could even bring Katonga back in. But I'd probably go with Wallin as instead of Fernandes because he's just... He's frustrating the shit out of me. He really is. And I don't want to have this, you know, what do you call it when you fucking pick on somebody? A witch hunt. Don't want a witch hunt on him. But he just needs to fuck off at the moment and, you know, earn his position, earn his place. But, yeah, the other three, I like them.
Do you know what? I think that that's maybe a little bit harsh on Manny. And I'm not going to come here and say that he was fantastic yesterday because he wasn't. And, look, he made errors. But just like we've got the three new signings, or the two new signings and then Carl Johnson, obviously, as well, Manny's playing with a person either side of him that he's never played with before and probably only had one training session. Now, that's not to excuse the fact that he didn't manage to find posh players with simple passes and stuff, but that's got to be equally as unsettling to not know what you're getting from your left back and not know what you're getting from your central defensive partner. And I don't think that after a clean sheet, we can justify changing the back four. Yes, Manny wasn't fantastic, but at the end of the day, for the first time this season in the league, we haven't conceded a goal. And I think that all of the back five, and actually all of the 11, plus the three subs, four subs, five subs that we made, they all need to take a little bit of a helping hand in that because this is a team game. And they've all contributed in some capacity to keeping a clean sheet. Yes, we can be frustrated with those at the top of the pitch for not scoring goals. But I think that when you think about somebody like Gustav, he's playing 60 minutes at the moment. And he still needs to bed himself in as well. I don't think that he's the finished article. I think that he'll learn and he'll grow, but he's showing the signs and he's showing things that are positive. That's for sure.
Yeah, and it's that positivity that I really want to see, especially from a forward man. And we brought him in and we brought him into a job. And I felt actually, you know, after his performance scoring a brace in the Bristol Street Motors Trophy, I actually thought, yesterday he was still making those runs and still being clever with his runs at least, and that was really helping. We didn't click offensively yesterday. I think everybody sort of agrees with that and has covered that. And I'm not necessarily saying that it was a good performance, but I think the runs that he was making, especially, looked to be quite good. One thing that is going to worry me is his height. And yesterday was a massive thing that stood out to me anyway, was his height. Against those Leyton Orient, you know, back four, we struggled massively with Gustav's height. We couldn't ping a ball into him. He couldn't bring it down because he was just bullied. And that's obviously he hasn't played in English football. He's got to take time to adapt. And that's something that he will adapt to. And there's nothing he can do to help that. But I'm just wondering maybe if we can change our play style to go back and play it along the floor more, because I think of recent, especially after that defensive display as we've spoken about, we've sort of been lumping balls over the top to Ricky, relying on his pace to get us up front. Obviously, losing Poku was a massive blow, but that's sort of how we've been trying to get ourselves up the pitch. I don't think we can do that with Gustav because he doesn't look as quick as Ricky, but also he doesn't look as maybe physical. And that might be harsh because he's only played two games for us. He hasn't played league or football. But yesterday, that was a glaring issue that I identified, was that against a back line with the size of Leyton Orient, he really struggled to produce. And we didn't really create a lot either. I think that was, again, an attacking problem. We struggled to create. But if he can keep making those runs, and him and Chris Conn-Clarke have made an excellent relationship, and Kean Hayes look, you know, above average. He is playing on an injury, I believe. So if we can continue to go, and obviously we've still got Poku to come back into this lineup when he gets back from fitness, I've got no doubt about it that we'll be able to creep back up into the mid-table and get ourselves out of the dogfight that we're in. And it's a great building point. I think that this attack, anyway, this front four is only going to get better. And it's only going to get better with the creative prowess of Poku coming in, Chris Clark getting more games under his belt, same with Gustav, same with Kean Hayes, and inevitably we're going to be scoring a lot more goals. It's just a process, and Gustav seems to be the right person for that process.
I do see what you mean, Max, about the attack getting better, but I'm actually getting very frustrated with our attack at the moment, because they had sort of a bit of a rampant period when you look at, you know, the Cambridge, Blackpool, that sort of time. But I'd go as far to argue that they've lost us just as many points this season as the defence has, or near as much. Because you look at the games that we've lost this season, and, you know, we lost 1-0 at Wrexham, 1-0 at Bolton, 1-0 to Burton. We're not losing, so there's some times when we've been hammered, fair enough. But there's a lot of games where we, you know, our defence has kept it to 1. And then yesterday they kept it to 0. And in all of our games, our attack has not managed to create anything to score a goal. Now, I think the attack does have to come under some sort of fire here. If we're going to criticise the defence so much for losing us points this season, I've just named 4 examples where the attack really did nothing in games that were really there for the taking. I'm getting quite frustrated with that. And when we're meant to be this team that's got the fantastic attack for League One, the fact there's been so many times this season where we've just not been able to create anything is really disappointing. And I think the attack starts obviously with Kyprianou and Collins, but that front four, you know, Chris Clark had a bit of a Randall-esque performance yesterday and went missing. We had Mothersill, who was probably the brightest of the four, but he wasn't at his best yesterday. Gustav, as you said, Max, was somewhat marked out of the game. Hayes didn't look at his full strength. They didn't do a huge amount yesterday. They created probably 1 or 2 good chances, if that. We weren't at our attacking best. We haven't been at our attacking best for some time. And it's getting to the point now where if we can sort out the defence, I think the attack needs some major attention in both the transfer market and on the training ground as well, because they are struggling at the moment to create goals and score consistently.
Chaz, I think you're missing the point a little bit with saying that the attacks cost us as many points as the defence. I think that's, well, it's just not true. But part of the reason why they're struggling so much is because Ferguson's had to adapt to a more defensive system because the defence can't defend. So the patterns of play that were put us to the top scorers in the league in the early part of the season are now not happening because Ferguson's had to adapt his system to try and cover for the deficiencies in it, which have all been from the defence. Now, what I will give you is some of the form of the players going forward has dropped off. I mean, you look at someone like Ricky J. Jones and his recent performances have been really, really poor. It's like he's seen the January window, thought, well, my time's up and I'm not really going to put the effort in. It feels like that to me anyway. I don't see the energy and vibrancy around his performances. But I think if you look at most our attackers this season, I mean, I think Malik Mothersill's had a decent season in terms of goals and assists. Poku is obviously the best player in the league for a lot of the season. I think Kean Hayes has been an outstanding signing really since he came into the team. So I think it's very harsh to start accusing them of costing us as many points as a defence, because I think a lot of the issues is because we've had to simplify the play, which is clearly hurting us going forward. My hope is now that with a more stable base, we will start to see those patterns come back and we will start to see them given a bit more license to go forward and the handbrake sort of taken off the team, because Ferguson talked about balance in his post-match press conference and we haven't quite got that right. We've almost gone from 2 attacking to 2 defensive, and we now need to start creeping back into the attack, because I think if you look at the attacking players, they're all very good players. I mean, I think Hayes, Mothersill on their day at this level can be really good wingers. I think Con Clark has shown flashes. He does need to step up now. He's getting a run of games, and as much as we called Randall out, he needs to start performing. He needs to start producing goals and assists, and he's not doing that at the minute. So he needs to improve. But with Lindgren up top, there's enough potential in this attack to get us out. And I think after 41 goals in 25 games, to start saying, you know, the attack's at fault as much as the defence this season is very, very harsh.
I mean, I get what you're saying, and the defence have been by no means strong, but the attack have been given the platform in quite a few games by the defence, and they're not performing. It feels like the attack only like perform when the defence don't. It feels like we've had very few performances this season where both have been at the same time. And even if you talk about the emphasis that we've put on defending more recently, you know, let's name the Wrexham game, for example, in yesterday's game, where there was a bit of a defensive emphasis. We still had in both of those games four very clear attacking players, at least four very clear attacking players on the pitch. And they should know each other well enough and be well trained enough together to be able to put together a pattern of play at some point in the game to score a goal. And they haven't been able to do that. And we haven't scored now in our last three games, other than the Walsall game in the Pizza Cup, which was against, you know, a League Two second string side. But against any quality opposition, we haven't scored. We've been really, really struggling in attack recently. And I agree on you with Ricky, John, but I think all of the attacking players sort of have decided that, okay, because the defence are so bad, we don't need, you know, there's no point us trying to score anymore because the defence are so terrible. And it looked like the attack did get demoralised for a point in the season because it felt like whenever they scored, the defence were just going to concede as many. But that might not be a problem anymore. Now we've got these defenders in. And I think what me and a lot of other Posh fans are asking for the attacking players is just to get that hunger back into their game and to get that motivation to score goals. And we do need to find the balance, but also I do think these attacking players now have to step up.
I we're talking about platforms and springboarding and things like that, and then we're saying that they've not been performing. We've had difficult games. Like Mansfield, Barnsley and Wrexham are all tough opposition for the position that we're in this season. Like, you can't say, oh, they've been no good for however long. Give them the chance. Like, if this continues, then we will be coming back in a couple of weeks' time and saying, yes, they're not pulling their weight. But we focus, we've got a clean sheet. I think that then we explode on Tuesday night and score loads of goals.
I've got a potential curveball here. Shoot me down if you disagree. But I think that we might be better off with two up top. I think that Motherseal naturally, he likes running at players, but also he's actually very happy to pass. More so, clearly more so than Ricky. And I think that Ricky would probably be better suited out wide, potentially. So I'm almost inclined, if Chris Conclart didn't play that well, if I was going to drop anyone, it would probably be him. And I would be having Motherseal and Gustav up top with Ricky out on one wing and Hayes on the other, and seeing if that helps. I think that will suit Motherseal better, personally. Not that he was that bad yesterday, but I think he could be even better.
You know what? I'm glad you said two up top, because you know what I'm going to say, didn't you? 4-4-2. You know, why not? Why not? So we've got the back four sorted out. We've got Johnson, Jenkins, right, our fucking hell, the new bloke, right back. We got Eden, left back. We got Hughes, centre back. And either Wallin or Nevitt for me at the back. In the middle, I would have O'Brady, Donny. Oh, fucking hell, what's his name? No, I'm talking bollocks. De Havilland, I'd have De Havilland and Collins. Cipriano goes. Right, mate, I'm fucking chucking it all out there. I'm doing it all out there, mate. And then up front, I would have Motherseal and I'd have your man, Gustav. Not Gustav, Gustav. I would have out of the wings, Hayes, and not sure on the other side. Not sure on the other side, but, you know, let's go 4-4-2. And so I'm having a little bit of a waffle. Why not? But now 4-4-2, let's do that. Someone else tell me what they would go for.
Okay. I mean, I disagree with you, Del, if you want my honest opinion. In fact, I completely disagree with you. I don't think the 4-4-2 or the personnel you've chosen is overly phenomenal. To get us out of the pit fight that we find ourselves in, I think we've got to go back to what we're used to. And what we're used to is the 4-2-3-1, which I think is the best formula. And having that one out and out man up top, and that one out and out man being Gustav. I think Ricky is a phenomenal player, but there might be an element of his game where he is looking for a move. And Gustav seems to have that sort of hunger. I think we need to just like come back a little bit though to the midfield position, because you mentioned De Havilland there, Dale, and And Collins and Kiprianni yesterday, I didn't think were very good offensively. In fact, I think probably that was one of Collins's worst games that I've seen him play. Kiprianni was really good defensively, but I don't think I saw him make a successful pass going forward, which was something that I was really quite worried about. Obviously, there probably was one of them, but what I'm saying is that there were very few and far between. They make our offense tick, and without those two playing at their best, considering we've lost, you know, we've lost Pocket to injury, we lost Mason Clark in the summer, you know, Ricky's going through a bit of a dry patch, we've just lost Randall to Bolton. You know, that front four that we really saw ourselves have last season, have so much success with, is gone. The only constants that we have at the moment from last season to get our attack working is Collins and Kiprianni. And for me, they are, they need to be at their best. Yesterday they weren't. Hopefully they can bounce back against Exeter and prove me wrong. But I just think they've got to work together again and build this 4-2-3-1 back up again. Change to a 4-4-2, changing the system, changing the person at the back after we've just kept a clean sheet, putting De Havilland in for no apparent reason, I think it would just be a little bit silly. I think it might take us off the rails. We don't need, once we kept a clean sheet like that, putting a defensive performance like that, it's about building on what we already know. And that's something that I think we can do. Overall, though, I thought the performance was really, really good yesterday in terms of defence. It's just about how we get that offence ticking, how we can get our attacking players back into the game, and how we can create those patterns that we saw last season. But as I just mentioned then, losing all those attacking players and unfortunately losing probably our best player, Kwai Poku, to injury and not having him for this extended period hasn't really helped us.
Moving on from the Leighton Orient game, and before we come to the midweek game, which is going to be against Exeter at home, the club announced a brand evolution on Monday. We're now recording on Sunday. I'll draw a direct quote from the press release. "We believe now is the right time to look at a brand identity for the football club, which will serve us for the future. We have a massively valuable brand. In a world of united cities and towns, it doesn't matter where you go in the world. If you mention Peterborough, people think posh. Leveraging that brand value in all its formats is massively important for the club. We are partnering with football branding experts who will, alongside consultation with our fans, help us to shape a brand evolution we can all be proud of." So, I mean, I'm interested to know what other people on the pod think. I'm probably not going to go into much detail on here. Anyone who follows me on Twitter has seen my comments already to Chris Brewer and knows where I stand on this. I don't necessarily want to retread massively. But, John, tell me, what are you thinking about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think the key thing for me is why the club think this is the right time to do this whole rebrand. Because for me, I'm not as firmly against changing the badge in a sense as a lot of people are. I mean, if there's a real reason for it, then fire away. But for me, the club aren't maximising what our current existing brand is at the minute. So how were we trying to restructure already when we're not extenuating every sort of availability to us already? So what I mean by that is, you look at the grassroots game yesterday, nobody knew about it, right? No one knew about it. The Ash is a coach of a grassroots team. Nobody in their group chat mentioned it. I know another coach around the area. He heard nothing. I've heard nothing from anyone in St. Ives, which is, again, a local area where I used to live. Nothing from anyone. So no one knew about that game. So where was the marketing for that? You look at the content strategy. Posh Plus is completely behind a paywall, so nobody can access any content there. And then you look at the socials. Well, what sort of content are they producing on there? New signings, which can go viral and are generally viral content for clubs like Burnley. Well, our trailers for signings that come in display a massive advert. And then we've got somebody walking into the training ground every single time. Nobody's sharing that. There's no shareable content around Peterborough United on the internet. The interviews are mundane. I learn more about Phil's comments than I do about our managers. Phil wants to make statements, not ask questions. And this might sound very harsh to pick on club staff, but it's the only way I can say what I feel about the brand in the fairest way possible. I have to, it's my football club, so I have to analyze the staff in this manner as I would a player. And I can't understand. There doesn't seem to be a website strategy. For instance, I work in journalism. So one of my jobs is to get people to click on our pieces to drive advertising revenue, for instance. There's no SEO strategy, so search engine optimization around the headlines on the website. They're littered with errors, like spelling errors and things like this. And we talk about the defense on the pitch not doing the basics. Peterborough United aren't doing the basics at that level to produce their commercial brand up. And yet we're going for this. It's the badge that's holding us back. I'd have far more sympathy with them if their sort of content and everything they did around it was really top class and we weren't seeing any growth within the club. But it feels like there's so many areas that are wrong in the club or could be improved. Maybe wrong is the wrong term, but could be improved in the club. That the badge is almost the least of our issues. And then I've gone onto the website of the designer of this badge. Basically, he profiles every badge that he's created. There's spelling errors in every single one of them. It says the length of the project and the word length is spelt wrong. Now, I know it might only seem a minor detail, but this is the sort of stuff that's missing on our club website. And then our badge designer is missing it. So if they're not interested in the finer details, then your brand's not good enough, right? You're not maximizing what you've got, if that makes sense. So why is now the right time? For me, what would be more important is maximizing what we've got. And then if you're still showing no growth, then we can look at changing the badge maybe. But that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I think I agree with you fully, John. And just to sort of add on, I don't massively see the correlation between, you know, the new badge and the idea that the club's going to grow massively with that. I think a lot of it is success related. A lot of growth in terms of football clubs is success related. You know, if we were to shoot to the Premier League, we would become a much bigger brand anyway, just because we're a bigger football club and we're more well known on the global stage. But unless we're going to completely change tack with the way that we market and we're going to gain, you know, a presence on TikTok, like, you know, there's certain clubs in our league, Exeter and Shrewsbury, that really sort of utilise TikTok and are actually quite well known for sort of back and forth on TikTok and their ability to create digital content. Unless we're going to really, you know, develop our content and do something like, for example, Dorking Wanderers have done, where they have a documentary and that's really elevated their brand, I don't see why changing the badge is necessary to do this. I don't see many issues with the new brand. I don't think with the current badge. I mean, I don't think there's been anything that I've ever thought about until this week where I've been like, oh, you know, that's a bit rubbish. I like the current badge, actually. I really like it. It's plastered around my bedroom walls because, you know, I love the football club and that badge for me is inherently associated with the football club. I just don't think it's where we need to be starting in terms of improvement. It feels like we're in step 100, but the first, you know, 99 steps of improving our brand as a football club haven't been done yet. And I know we're future planning, but it's also, we have to think about, I'm sure there was a timeline in place for a long time about putting stuff like this into practice, but I would have loved to seen a bit of common sense. The fan base is really negative at the moment because we're losing a load of football games. And then chucking in this new thing, this new change, and you know, change is often unpopular, especially when it's to something that strikes a chord with people as much as, you know, a football badge. It's just such a bad time to be launching a project like this. Launch it in the summer if you want. Start early consultation in the summer, but in the middle of a very bad season already, to launch something like this, which was obviously going to unsettle people, and then to sort of not have a very clear communication package about what was wrong with the current badge, what is going to be on the new badge, and for it to sort of come out in dribs and drabs like it has. It's just created such a hostile atmosphere, and it's just added fuel to the fire that already existed this season. And I think that's my major issue with it.
I'd be interested to know if they did actually think that this would get a negative reaction. I'd be inclined to say that they probably thought this would get a positive reaction. So based on the way they've spoken on online, but I don't want to put words in people's mouths. I'm sure they will be able to say in the upcoming fan forum, which I'll go on to now, Brand Evolution Fan Forum, questions like that as well. What do they think the reaction was going to be? I'm sure someone will ask that. Again, I'm going to read directly from the press release. So it's the fairest thing to do. A presentation will be given on the plans for the project, including how feedback will be sought from supporters, the benefits the football club will see as a result. We'll see as well as a project timeline. There will also be an opportunity for those in attendance to ask questions about the project and put across their views. Ash, you're going, I believe. Tell me, what are you looking forward to getting out of the fan forum?
Well, to be fair, I was quite fortunate yesterday at the game in that I had Chris Payne presented to me by Clive. So I am grateful for that. And Clive will be coming onto the podcast and we will be doing a live on Sunday the 26th at 7 p.m. So 1 week today as we record, in 6 days' time, and this gets released on the Monday morning or Monday evening, depending on how you listen to this. And Clive has promised to answer any questions that we've got. I am going because I think that this is actually a good opportunity. And I know that people think that maybe I've gone back on myself after listening to Chris, but I actually think that this is the right thing to do. I don't think that there would ever be a right time like to do this. And actually, by the time that we launch this, which will be the 26-27 season, I think that there's every chance that we know that we're probably going to have to consolidate this season and just accept that we're going to be League One. If we go on a fantastic run next season and go in and win the league, we are then having our brand refresh launched for a potential season in the Championship, if everything goes how we would hope as supporters. And what better way to sort of start a new season, a new era, where we may finally solidify ourselves in the Championship. And actually, when I was speaking to Chris, it was kind of a weird one because he asked me some things that I didn't really know the answer to. And I've been a Posh fan for, 16, 17 years now, maybe slightly longer than that. And as a Posh fan, I couldn't answer them. And as somebody that's lived in Peterborough all my life, I couldn't answer them. And for those that aren't aware, Chris Payne is the football brand designer. He is the guy that did Cambridge's badge, has done the Yeovil badge. And look, we as humans don't like change. There's no arguing that. We like the way that we have things. We like what we get. We don't like to see things change. All of these sorts of things. If you think about when they put the safe standing in London Road, that was had all sorts of backlash. When they said that they were going to knock down the Moyes End for the away fans, that had backlash as well. But now we've got a lovely new stand that people want to use. We've got people that still enjoy going in the London Road End and don't want to see it not be used. Now, if you'd have given that option 5-10 years ago, they probably would have said, well, no, I don't want safe standing at all. And so I'm excited to see what they have to offer. Now, that what that doesn't do is that doesn't take away from all of the personal issues that I've had. I think that the communication of the brand evaluation or evolution has been pretty poor. But I am going to go into next Friday open-minded and listen and let it play out. I think that what people need to sort of realise is that actually it's not a case of being on board or not, but if you listen and share your ideas, it's going to help the club and help Chris scope the way that our new brand looks ultimately.
You know, I've got my views on it, which probably different to most people, but I'll save them for when Clive does come on, to be fair. But also, just a couple of things you did say there. Yeah, Moyes End was knocked down, it's changed, people like it. Well, they don't like it that much because it's always fucking empty. London Road, it had the, it's true though, London Road, safe standing in. I still don't know anybody that actually likes a safe standing. So these are the things that was pushed onto us. We did have a choice, you know. So we've had to accept it. My concern is with the rebranding, a lot of people won't like it. Some people will. But yet again, we'd have to accept it. We have a choice. We either go with it or we don't. So I just feel that the whole rebranding, they're going through a process. It's going to happen whether we like it or not, you know. They're saying we're going to have sort of input, say this. We're going to have no fucking input, no say. But let's see what happens. You know, fair play to Clive. Obviously, on social media, I've not seen any positive. Well, I might have seen one bit of positive regarding the rebranding. And everyone's like been attacking. Don't attack him personally, to be fair. You know, some of the spiteful things that I have seen, he's actually bang out of order. But I think he needs to be accountable for what he is attempting to do with this rebranding. And hopefully we'll find out more on Friday. So I don't want to sort of say too much until I find out, see the 43-page presentation on Friday, see what happens there. And we'll go from there. And then obviously he's on the show on the Sunday. Hopefully we can ask more questions then and see where we go.
No, I think that is the important thing, and that will be the thing that I have stressed, and I've stressed this to Clive personally as well, is that Friday night's fan forum should have been 2 days ago. They should have been ready. They should have known that the demand would have been there, and not let people sit on it and dwell on it and stew up all sorts of ideas and create hysteria. Because ultimately that's sort of what has happened, is that everybody's managed to wind themselves up. The communication was poor, which is not anything new, like John said. There was words used and things like that people, like fancy marketing words that people didn't want to see and things like that. And ultimately, if they'd have just done all of these things a lot sooner, then that would have put people's minds at ease. I think it's the right thing. I may turn out to be wrong, but actually when you look at Cambridge, and Cambridge aren't obviously an ideal example, but Cambridge have got their new logo and then they've got sub-brands. And actually that helps the marketing team, that helps the commercial team. It helps them steer the traffic and the direction of where they want all of these things to do. And when Cambridge launch it, that will open up new opportunities for them. And ultimately, I think as a football club, we should be exploring every opportunity possible to get people through the door and keep them there ultimately, which, you know, time will tell, won't it?
No, that's a fair point, mate. As I say, initially I thought, what the fuck are you doing? But, you know, I'm going to reserve judgment until Friday. Then if I'm still sort of not happy with it, then I'll say my thing. But I think there's more important things to be doing. But I didn't have the pleasure of being with you yesterday and missing the game talking to Chris. But there we go. So, yeah, let's see what happens. I'm actually looking forward to Friday night. See what happens, see what the views of other people are. Because obviously, I speak to the same people at football, and most of those I know through social media. So there's another element of people that we don't see from social media that ain't on it. I want to see what their views are as well, because there's going to be lots of different views. So, yeah, anybody want to go Friday? I think tickets are still available. They are free. And, you know, get down there, have a listen, and then we'll review it all on Sunday night.
Yes, just to essentially hammer the point home, Clive, the head of marketing at Peterborough United, will be coming on Up the Poshcast this time next week, live at 7 p.m. on Sunday, the 26th of January. We'll be streaming it on YouTube and X, just like we did for the DMAC interview. Next up, we face Exeter at home on Tuesday night. We've covered a little bit of what we'd like to do with formations earlier in the conversation, but how are we feeling about Exeter? It was a pretty tough game when we went there earlier in the season, Ash. How are you feeling about Tuesday night?
Confident, actually. I think that we discussed earlier that Saturday's performance was the platform, and now it is the time for the defence to hold solid and for all of our attacking players to show us what they can do. When I think about sort of players on the pitch, I'm going to say that I'm getting really fed up with Hector Kyprianou and Ricky J. Jones. They clearly don't want to be here. So if they are going to play, they either need to show that they are going to play for the club and play for the badge. But if they're not, then I don't want to see them on the team sheet. I don't want to see them anywhere near the starting 11, and I'm not sure that I want to see them on the bench. Half-assed performances like Ricky gave when he came on yesterday. And look, I've been Ricky's biggest defender, but if he's not going to do what he's good at, then he isn't going to offer us a great deal, is he? And Hector hasn't looked like he has wanted to play football properly all season, other bar than maybe the Northampton game, where I think that was maybe more of a little bit of like Hector's back and he helped drag that team that little bit further forwards. It still didn't end up in a positive result for Posh, but yeah, I'm confident that we get a result. I'm confident that we get a positive result on a Tuesday night against Exeter. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think also Exeter have lost one of their better players, Tristan Cramer, I think his name is. So they've lost one of their better players in the window, and I don't think they're on the best run of form either. So I think this is again we've got to capitalise on, especially looking at our run of fixtures coming up. I don't think they're necessarily the hardest ones. You know, the Christmas period was really quite daunting in terms of the fixtures. You know, as we mentioned earlier, we have Barnsley, we have Mansfield, we had, you know, even Everton away in the cup, Wrexham, you know, difficult fixtures. This like run is a little bit not necessarily easier, but it's fixtures that I can definitely see us getting points from, which is the positive thing. And that defensive display, it gives me a lot of sort of hope that we can do that. So it's going to be an interesting game, definitely. And hopefully we can make the most of it. I think we play really good football on Tuesday nights, albeit it's been in the Bristol Street Motors Trophy a lot of the time. But I think I can't really remember the stat, but I think we've won and only drawn one. I don't think we've lost on a Tuesday night yet. So hopefully we can see that sort of Tuesday night form carry on into Exeter at home and get us our first win since I'm pretty sure our first win was Crawley. Our last win, sorry, was Crawley in December. So hopefully we can carry that form in and take it into Tuesday night.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some arguments for tinkering with the team, but for me, I think this is the easiest team selection Darren Ferguson's had all season. I think we just go again with exactly the same team that we had at Orient. I don't really see the necessity to change it. What we had for once was a stable back line. Let's try and build on that. We don't need to go about tweaking the defence. It's changed way too many times already this season. Let's try and build that from that foundation and let's try and, you know, get some passing play going. I'm confident that Collins and Kyprianou won't be that bad again. I thought you were a little bit harsh on Kyprianou. I don't know if it's a question of does he want to be there. I actually thought he got stuck in quite well against Dorian. It was more his on the ball play that struggled for me. I thought his passing range was off, which isn't necessarily a question of attitude. It was a question of quality. And the thing with Kyprianou is, and I think we all forget, he never had a preseason. He's still working his way up to fitness. He looked absolutely knackered after 75 minutes yesterday. He's not at peak standard Hector Kyprianou yet. So I do want to cut him a little bit of slack because I think there's a quality player in there. And I think we just need to play him through this bad form and he will get back up to where he is if he remains at the club, of course. And then there's not too many other options I'd want to see start. Abraham Odo not doing anything to stake his place for a place in the team at all. Another really poor substitute appearance from him. And I mean, I don't know where we go with him because his form is appalling. But that's a debate for another day. I think Lindgren deserves another opportunity to start. Although, from what Fergie has said about being careful with him, I actually wouldn't mind seeing Bradley Ivonian start there if Lindgren isn't fit. But realistically, I'd go with the same team again and just hope it clicks a bit more in an attacking sense. Because I think we're coming into a really crucial stage of the season now where the next five games are going to shape where we are. If we can get three wins, we'd probably be clear of relegation and that threat goes. If we start losing tomorrow, Tuesday night, if we start losing, you know, some of the games that are coming up, then the feeling around London Road is really going to turn toxic. So it is really important that we can sort of build on a little bit of momentum that we've got, having gone unbeaten for our last two.
Okay, for me, in all seriousness, you know, we're starting to get the basics right. Let's sort of pretty much keep it there, but I would swap Fernandez because I do think Fernandez was our weak link. You know, he's a bit of a bully in a certain way, but I think we need a little bit more of a Wallin or a Nevitt sort of player there rather than having two like Hughes. So that's probably all I would do. I wouldn't be opposed to bringing De Havilland in for Kyprianou, if I'm honest, because I don't think Kyprianou has been playing all that well for the last few weeks. And then leave it is up the top, give him another chance. I think having Ricky on the bench is the right thing because he's not been performing of late. Malik is having some moments here and there. And I quite like the look of Gustav. So, you know, Whilst he didn't get a goal this week, I was quite impressed with him during midweek, and he put a good shift in yesterday. So I wouldn't change too much, probably just that one player, potentially two. So looking forward to Exeter. I do like Exeter, but I hope we beat him, obviously.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I would like to see Katongo come back in maybe and take Manny's place. You know, I did the maths. If we are spending 250 grand to get him in, then that's £6 grand a league game. And it doesn't feel like we should be throwing £6 grand down the drain and not using him if we can. I do think he's a good ball player. And I think that if we want to get it flowing a bit more, I think Sam Hughes can be sort of the Manny type, who's a bit of a bully. And then Katongo can be the more cultured one, and he can help us sort of get a bit more flow back into our play. So, yeah, I'd bring Katongo back in, but I wouldn't make massive changes. I think Bradley Honvian would be good to start, especially if we're struggling with a bit of physicality up front. He is a bit bigger. He can hold the ball up a lot more, but he's not slow either. And if Gustav it is going to be limited to the amount of game time he could have, I'd almost rather have Gustav as an impact sub for now, as a player who can come on and change a game rather than starting and not having as much of an impact on the game as possible. So yeah, I'd probably bring Bradley in up front, and I'd definitely bring Katongo back in as well.
I don't have a lot to add. All I'd say is this about Exeter specifically. They came back from, was it 4-1 down against Crawley? It might have even been 4-0 down. And we saw that they were pretty nippy when we played them. Like, they are a never-say-die team, even if they lost to us earlier in the year. So if we do well, which I think we will in the first half, because I think we have more quality than they do, we should not sit on it. And it's the sort of game that could be a real banana skin if players get into a 2 or 3-0 position. And then squander it at home. So we just need to be switched on and try and get a good win under the lights. I think it's time for predictions. Ash, I'll come to you first.
Can I go back to being really positive? Am I allowed to do that? Can I say that we're going to win 5-0? Gustav's going to get a hat-trick. Manny's going to go on a little marauding run again and piss missile one in. Except it's not a piss missile, it's like a back pass, and the goalkeeper's going to fuck it up and throw it in the back of the net. And then, do you know what? Sam Hughes is going to score an absolute brick wall header from a corner, because we're actually going to beat the first man from one now that Joe Randall isn't here. 5-0.
Very positive, Ash. I'm going to say 1-0. I think when I look at it with a logical head, I don't think... there's enough training time to really coach the patterns of play into the team that we want and the new signing. So I'm expecting it to be a little bit of a back to the basics performance again, maybe a little bit of a disjointed performance. I'm hopeful that one of our attackers can have that sort of match winning moment that we haven't seen in recent weeks. There's only so long that players of that quality can not continue to not score. So my theory is that we're going to go back-to-back clean sheets, like London buses, as they say.
Took the words right out of my mouth there, John. I was going to use the London buses, but hey-ho. Yeah, I'm also predicting a clean sheet, and I think we're going to get some goals, and I'm going for 4-0 to the mighty Posh. Why not? Don't know who's going to score, but we're going to win 4-0, being positive.
I mean, I think our defence is improved, but there's absolutely no way we'll keep two clean sheets in a row. We're not that good. Let's not get carried away here. I think we'll win. I'll go for 3-1, and I think it's going to be a Malik hat-trick. I think, you know, you never know. I think he impressed me on Saturday because he showed a great work rate and, you know, listen, off the left, cutting in, yeah, a little bit of Mothersill action. So, yeah, I'll go 3-1, Mothersill hat-trick.
Maybe you can tell him that prediction on his social media, Charlie. Oh, no. No, hold on. I'm going to go with same score as last time, 2-1 to Posh. I think that it's going to be a game in which both teams are probably a bit error-strewn. And also, look, like I said, Exeter are a nippy team. They nip at you. They won't give you a minute to breathe if you give them a chance. And also, they are pretty aggressive down the wings. A nippy side. So I think that we are going to have a fight on our hands, but one that we will win. Just 2-1 for me.
I don't know how I feel about the use of the word nippy, but I think personally, we are going to keep back-to-back clean sheets like London buses. I'm going to go 2-0, Posh. I'm going to say, I don't know, Archie Collins to score both of them.
All right. That's it. Good show. We will have another episode, at least one, maybe two, prior to the live with Clive, covering Exeter and then Lincoln. So look out for that on our social media, on at the Poshcast, and we will see you on the next one. Thanks for listening. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
We've been recording for 6 months now and Harry still doesn't know that we release on Mondays.